out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 1st of July 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, we've got a few interesting news stories today. Start getting particularly horrific with the last one if we've got enough time to get to it. But this first news story that I've got here, I mean, really you would think that this is just common sense. That if you have people that commit crimes in your country and they're foreigners, you would just deport them straight back to the country that they come from. You wouldn't waste the time of taking them to court and providing translators and all this sort of nonsense. You would think that any sensible country would just deport people that don't know how to speak the language, but not Britain. And this reminds me of President Putin last week, when he said that the liberalism project is a failure. It has now failed. And he pointed out the fact that we have immigrants coming into our countries, carrying out crimes, murdering, looting, raping, and instead of deporting them, we put their so-called rights above the rights of the victims. And this is Putin that was pointing that out, which I thought was excellent to have such an esteemed politician as Putin pointing this out, that these people should just be kicked out of our countries. We shouldn't be wasting time on taking them to court. If they can't even speak English, what the hell are we doing bringing them into our courts? If they don't know how to speak English, they don't know anything about our laws, they've broken them, they should just be kicked out back to their own countries. It's costing us a fortune. Translators for foreign criminals have cost £63.8 million in 3 years, figures show. Non-English speakers need legal papers translated and require an interpreter for trial proceedings. Experts were called in to help with 253 different languages and dialects. What are they even doing here if they can't speak the language? What are they doing here? If they are a foreigner that's here on holiday and they have committed a crime, maybe there's a case there that they would need to have a translator. But if they're just somebody that's broken into the country, or they're somebody that's claimed asylum or whatever, they should just be sending them straight back, saying, well, that's it, you've broken the law here. So you're either going straight to prison or you're going straight back. It's like, if you can't afford to get a translator yourself, we're not going to pay for it for you. You should have thought of that before you broke our law. It should be the responsibility of the person that carries out the crime to get a translator to understand the law. They're the ones that have broken it. There was £21.6 million spent from April 2018 to March 2019, £23.6 million the year before, and £18.6 million in 2016-2017. Polish, £9.6 million, and Romanian, £6.2 million topped the list, then Urdu. Next were the five Arabic tongues, and then Lithuanian and Bengali. So Polish and Romanian, well, they are Europeans. It's their countries that should be paying for them to have the court papers translated into English. And if their countries won't pay for them, then that's just tough, isn't it? They shouldn't have broken the law in our country. A total of £14,000 was spent on Bravanese, a language spoken in Somalia, and £16,000 on Acholi from Uganda. Welsh speakers led to a £23,000 spend. Well, the Welsh speakers should have the language translated into English for them because they're part of the United Kingdom. Somalia isn't a part of the United Kingdom. If these people aren't prepared to learn to speak the language of the country that they are living in, they should have their citizenship withdrawn from them. The Ministry of Justice has to provide interpreters by law. Well, I'd like to see what law that actually is, to be honest, because it should be the country that they're from that pays for these interpreters. And if they don't pay for the interpreters, then that's just tough. Alp Mehmet of Migration Watch UK blasted the inefficiency and cost of the service. Why have we got an Arab running our Migration Watch in Britain? Why have we got somebody who isn't even white British checking over what the migration is into the country? This is ludicrous. He said greater care at the border over who is admitted and a drop in immigration levels would in turn see the cost of translators and interpreters fall. Well, what a genius he is for working that out, that if we didn't let them in the first place, then we wouldn't have such a cost in translators. We wouldn't have such a cost in crimes either, let alone in translators. In 2013, the Ministry of Justice was branded shambolic by MPs for the way it handled the outsourcing of the contract for language services. Well, it's not just in these courts that this is happening. If you go to London now, you will see that they have the road signs written in different languages. You've got all these different languages all over the place where the councils are paying for translation services for people that don't even speak English. How can you have somebody that doesn't even speak English claiming to be British or claiming to be English like some of these foreigners do? At the very least, you should be able to speak the language of the country that you claim to be a citizen from. I mean, we really need massive changes in this country, and none of our politicians are speaking up for the sort of drastic changes that we are going to need to put things right. They're all just talking about putting plasters over things, putting a band-aid over things. I know Brexit it takes up most of the conversation at the moment and is distracted from a lot of our problems, but you would think that these people that are trying to become the leader of the Conservatives might speak about some of the other policies that are needed, that immigration needs to be stopped. I mean, that Brexit vote was a proxy for a vote against immigration. That's the reason why so many people voted to leave the EU, because they saw it as, if we vote to leave the EU, that's saying that we want to control our borders, because nobody wants to be called a racist, so they're not going to come out right and say, well, we don't want all these foreigners here. Why on earth would you want foreigners in your country? You know, these politicians are insane to be calling for more of it, pretending that they're the same as us, when it just costs us an absolute fortune. And you think, they say, well, we need these people here to do these jobs, or we need them here to work in the NHS. Well, if they need translators, not going to be any good at doing any jobs, are they? I mean, it's bad enough if, you know, a waiter in a restaurant doesn't speak English and gets your order messed up. You imagine what it's like when you've got a surgeon that doesn't speak English and he's cutting out the wrong organs, which we have had happen. Somebody ended up having her ovaries cut out or a womb cut out instead of the operation that was supposed to be happening. We've had somebody having with their tear ducts that were cut out by these foreign surgeons that didn't know what they were doing, weren't able to speak English. And then you think of the elderly people that are in hospital or whatever, and they can't understand what these people are saying. They don't want to appear to be racist. And these foreign doctors end up giving them the wrong prescriptions, putting them in for the wrong operations. Something like 80% of all the malpractice claims for gross negligence are for foreigners We don't need these people here to run the NHS. We don't need these people here at all. If they weren't here, the NHS wouldn't need to be as big as it is, and the NHS wouldn't need as much money as it does. There is no benefit whatsoever from diversity. It's just an absolute nonsense. And, you know, it's like these politicians, they're blindfolded. It's like they're deluded. It really is. I mean, there's a passage in the Bible where it says that if people have an insufficient love for the truth, they will be sent a strong delusion and they won't be able to see the truth. And the people that can't see the truth, we've got them right at the top of society. And a lot of them think that they're doing good, they're doing the right thing, and they're not, because they compromise themselves early on in their lives. They've blinded themselves from seeing what they are actually doing. And they think they're being virtuous by bringing in these other races and diluting the white genome. What they're really doing is engaging in ethnic genocide, the genocide of the white race. Well, the next news story that I've got for us here today concerns two things, really. It concerns a banned Muslim group and a banned white nationalist group. National Action, of course. This actually comes from the Independent. So that's a very left-wing news organization. So it's interesting that they are asking this question. They say, no one has ever been prosecuted for membership of the UK's most dangerous Islamist group. Despite followers launching numerous terror attacks, it can be revealed. Supporters of Anjem Chowdhury's Al-Muhajirun organization carried out atrocities, including the London Bridge attack, the 7/7 bombings, and the murder of Lee Rigby, while others in the organisation fought for ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the Taliban abroad. The government banned the ALM as a terrorist group in 2006, making membership a criminal offence punishable by up to 10 years in prison. And remember, that's the same legislation that was used against National Action for making a tweet that was in very, very bad taste, calling for more MPs to be killed after Thomas Mayer killed an MP, basically. So this Islamic group, they've carried out numerous bombings, attacks, murders, sent people off to fight against British forces in Syria, and their group has been banned, yet nobody since then has actually been arrested or charged with being a member. A senior counter-terror officer admitted that despite police identifying 600 current or former associates, none of them have been prosecuted for membership. Now, I'd make a guess that when National Action were legal, they probably had about 100 members, something like that. I mean, they weren't really called members, but probably only about 100 people, not very many at all. I mean, it has been said that National Action nowadays, now that it's actually been banned, it has actually seems to have far more people in it than it ever did when it was legal, which is, of course, a bit of a joke there, because it doesn't exist anymore. And these people that have been charged with it, they didn't know they were actually members of National Action when they were charged with it. They were just associating with people that had some kind of a connection to the group back when it was legal. The Metropolitan Police officer, who is codenamed Witness M because of an anonymity order, told inquests into the London Bridge attack that suspects had been arrested but not charged. The admission that no one has been prosecuted for membership of the group comes after more than a dozen people were prosecuted for membership of the neo-Nazi terrorist group National Action, despite them setting up new factions under different names to evade the ban, and also despite the fact that they have never killed anybody. And not only did members of National Action not kill anybody, as far as I am aware, when the group was a lawful organisation, none of the members of it were ever charged with any violence at all. I don't think any of them were charged with anything at all. It was after the group got banned, Then you had these court cases for them putting up stickers and things like that. And that was, because National Action had then been banned as terrorists, because these stickers had been put up before they were actually banned as terrorists, we actually had people arrested for putting up terrorist literature, basically, for glorifying terrorists, which was after, you know, this happened before the group were actually banned as being terrorists. You know, the interesting thing is that what the Independent are pointing out here is that all these people have been arrested for being members of National Action, and yet nobody's been arrested for being members of this Al-Mujahirun organization, even though they had hundreds of members. The police can identify 600 current or former associates. A survivor of the 2005 London bombings, which were carried out by terrorists linked to Al-Mujahirun, said she was concerned by the lack of prosecutions. It allows the ALM to galvanise support and disseminate their messages, Sajda Mughal, OBE, told The Independent. Witness M insisted that police would act on evidence of someone being a member of ALM, but the nature of that group doesn't necessarily present us with those evidential opportunities. He said this was because there were no membership lists, official branding, or iconography that could be used to prove a link, and ALM did not claim responsibility for attacks by its followers. I mean, that is just unbelievable that they are saying that they can't go after this group because there are no membership lists and because they haven't claimed responsibility for any attacks since then. I mean, these young lads that were accused of being members of National Action and charged with that, their names weren't on any membership lists. They didn't have any official branding or iconography that they were caught with. National Action didn't claim responsibility for any attacks or anything even that had gone on since the group was banned. These young lads that were arrested, I mean, the evidence that was used against them was that they were basically talking to other ex-members in a chat room. Just talking to other ex-members. And National Action never had any membership lists either. So what these courts have actually been doing is just making these tenuous links and saying, well, because these people went to they continued going to a gym after National Action was banned, and they continued going to this gym, that means that going to this gym is proof that these people were members of National Action. So if they can do that to these National Action, alleged National Action members, why can't they do that to the alleged Al-Mujahirun members? I mean, they're saying here that they know of 600 current or former associates. And of course, this Al-Mujahirun, they've got lots of different organizations that are now basically doing the same thing, but they haven't been banned. And there is a total disconnect between the way that these Islamic terrorists are treated and the alleged white nationalist terrorists are treated. Again, just point out here that nobody from National Action has ever been accused of carrying out any terrorist attacks. And yet you've got an Islamic group here that has carried out just about all the Islamic attacks in Britain, and nobody's been arrested for being a member of it. Nobody. Incredible. I mean, that really does show that there's a bias here against white people. Well, I said I've got a particularly nasty story to talk about here, and this continues on from a story that we covered last year in South Africa about a young white student that was brutally gang-raped and murdered. And this court case has been ongoing, and back then the black gang rapists, they were laughing and joking in court. Well, today, the actual murder weapon was brought in, a massive 82-pound rock, which I think is about 40 kilos, so almost two big bags of coal. That's how much this rock weighed. A massive 82-pound rock used to smash in the skull of a white university student after she was kidnapped and brutally gang-raped by blacks has been presented in court. the 2 foot by 1 foot by 1 foot boulder had been used to cover a borehole and was slammed down on Hannah Cornelius's head twice as she was held down, a court was told. The fatal blow was delivered after at least 3 men had taken turns to rape the gifted scholar. Hannah, 21, would almost certainly have died instantly, according to experts. However, to make sure, one of her killers also plunged a knife into her neck. Now, what happened that night? She went to pick up a friend of hers, a black friend of hers, and drop him off in his community. And as she was dropping the black friend off in his community, these other members of his community got into the car and they attacked him. They dropped him off and thought that they had killed him. And then they proceeded to gang rape this white student, torture her, beat her to death. And I believe they also carjacked a few cars that night, went on a robbery rampage. When they were asked why they did it, they just said, oh, for something to do. We just did it for something to do. This is the sort of thing that blacks get up to. Now, not all blacks are going to behave like this, but a certain proportion of them always do, no matter what country they're in. And they're starting to do the same thing in London now as we get more and more blacks there and less proportion of whites. We are seeing the increase in violence that you would expect to see. Now, thankfully, London is not as bad as South Africa. The latest crime figures in South Africa reveal that 56 people are murdered every day, 110 people are raped every day, and there are 45 carjackings every day. And then we have people like Stormzy over here in Britain playing at Glastonbury, going on about how it's racism is the reason why we've got so many blacks in prison. The reason why we have blacks in prison, more blacks than you would expect in prison, is because of the criminality that the blacks are involved in is much higher than any other race. And these crime figures from South Africa, they prove this. 56 people are murdered every day. If you look at London, London is 60% non-white. London has the highest rate of murder than any city in Britain. If you look at any of these countries that blacks live in, Haiti, Liberia, you look at the states that they live in, Detroit, Chicago, massive murder rates because they have a propensity for violence that white people don't have. When was the last time you heard of anybody gang raped by a group of whites who then tortured the person to death and smashed an 82-pound heavy rock on over her head to squash the woman? And these crimes that these Negroes are capable of, the barbarity and savagery of what they're capable of doing is just shocking to the white man. And as I say, they're just there in court laughing, joking about this. They haven't got a care in the world. And once London is 100% black or 95% black, like South Africa is, these sort of things are just going to be happening in London exactly the same as they do in South Africa. Logic tells you that is what is going to happen. In London, the knife crime epidemic continues with no sign of abating yet. Yesterday, we had 6 stabbings in London. They took place in just 24 hours, killing 4 people. 4 people killed in the capital city last night. The wave of violence has reached all corners of the capital, including Croydon, Southwark and Hackney, all very heavily black areas. A heavily pregnant woman was among the 6 people stabbed during a horrific weekend of attacks. The 26-year-old victim was 8 months pregnant. She tragically died during the attack in the early hours of Saturday morning. Now, she was obviously pregnant. I mean, the guy that did that, he knew she was pregnant. He didn't have a care in the world. He just wanted to kill her. Obviously, she was black. There was actually a white victim in amongst this as well. London Mayor Sadiq Khan will be coming under pressure as the stabbing rate shows no sign of slowing in London. Well, what has Sadiq Khan been doing about this? Didn't he just give £1 million to a new hate crime department that he was setting up there. He's done absolutely nothing to stop the these stabbings. He's one of the ones that was responsible for doing away with stop and search because he said that was racist. He also wants to do away with the gang matrix, which is a list of people that have been involved in gang-related crimes. And of course, everybody on that list is black. And because of that, he wants to do away with it. And that list is what the councils go to when they're looking as to whether they should be giving somebody a house in that area. I mean, that list helps to prevent these savages from moving in next door to young families. Sadiq Khan wants to get rid of it because it's racist. Numbers reached record highs last year across England and Wales with 285 fatal stabbings across the country. Of those, 135 were in London. Mr. Khan has funded a violent crime task force for the Metropolitan Police, which has found more than 1,500 dangerous weapons in the last year. Well, I'll tell you what, you could just go to a shop and find 1,500 dangerous weapons. You could go to the beach and you could find 1,500 dangerous stones there on the beach that could be used for stoning somebody to death. It's not the fact that there are weapons around that is responsible for these crimes. It's the people themselves that are responsible for all these crimes. If you were to remove all the Negroes from London, the crime rate would probably only be about 25% of what it actually is with all those Negroes there. I mean, they talk about banning knives. We've got shops now that won't even sell kitchen knives. So I don't know what they expect people to be able to eat their food with. They ban knives. They ban cleaning products. And what do they think people are going to do? They think that's going to stop people, blacks, from killing one another? They'll just start using hammers. They'll just start using clubs. They'll just start using scissors. They'll use bleach. They'll get hold of whatever they can to use to kill one another, because that's what they do. That's what they've always done. That's what they've done ever since the dawn of time. They've gone out and raided one another's tribes and engaged in tribal warfare for material profit. It's what these people do. And it's what's going on now in our cities. Speaking last night after the death of Kelly Mary Fouvrel, Mr. Khan tweeted, "Violence against women has no place in our city." Well, it does have a place in your city, Mr. Khan, because it seems to happen there every day. "And horrific murders in the home like this show the scale of the problem we face." It's a problem that we wouldn't be facing if we didn't have people like Mr. Khan in London. If we didn't have blacks and non-whites in London, we wouldn't be getting these horrific murders in the home. You wouldn't get white people stabbing a pregnant 8-month pregnant woman, stabbing them to death. You just wouldn't get that. That wouldn't happen to a white man. No matter how angry he was with the woman, he would know that that was a dishonourable thing to do. Blacks don't have any honour. They don't have any sense of shame. If they did have a sense of shame, then they would be able to demonstrate that they felt shame by blushing. They're not capable of blushing, therefore they don't feel shame. There's nothing exists in nature that doesn't actually have the ability to do whatever it is it's doing. Birds have wings because they can fly. White people can blush because we feel shame. Blacks can't blush because they can't feel shame, so they don't understand honour. He says, "My heart goes out to this innocent child and to the mother they have so tragically lost. Met Police UK are investigating. Please help if you can." I mean, that is the exact same thing that he tweets out every time somebody is murdered in London. "My heart goes out to this innocent child," as if that's any compensation to, or any comfort to these people that are losing their kids, that are being stabbed to death because he thinks it's racist to have stop and search. All he is interested in is increasing immigration to London, turning the country Islamic, and staying within the EU. He's got no interest in actually solving or stopping the amount of murders that there are in London. He's got no interest in doing that at all, because he wants to say, well, there's all these murders in London because not enough money is being spent on the police. Not enough money is being spent on the police. How much money did we used to spend on the police when we didn't have a multicultural country? Probably about 1% of the amount today that is spent on the police, and we probably only had about 1% of the crime that we have today. It can all be traced back to this diverse country that we have now. It can all be traced back to immigration and the degeneration of morals that comes with that. If you have whites living alongside blacks, the blacks don't start behaving like whites. The whites start behaving like blacks because they have to. Because if they don't, they'll be attacked and they'll be mugged. The whites have to start going out tooled up as well and behaving like the blacks, because otherwise they're going to become victims themselves. You can't raise the blacks up to the standards of whites. All you can do is drag whites down to the standards of blacks. And the only way to really stop that is to just get out of London, which is why 60% of London has got out of London, and why we don't actually have any real Londoners anymore. You won't hear a Cockney accent anymore because there are no Cockneys left. All you're going to hear in London is Jamaican patois and Urdu and all these hundreds of other languages that the British people are paying for translators to when these people get sent to court, as I was talking about at the beginning of this. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist. God bless and hail victory.
Radio Aryan. Radio. Dot.